ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे.
I offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And I offer my obeisances to all the devotees who are present here. You're all Vaishnavas, and therefore the most worshipable, as you are very dear to Lord Krishna in this world, or any other world for that matter. In the Gita, Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye, yatatam api siddhanam kaschim mambeti tatvataha. That out of millions of people, only a select few are very interested in spiritual life and inquire deeply about it. And if you take that subgroup, only a small portion of those who are seriously inquisitive come to know the science of pure devotional service and thus come to know Krishna as He is in truth. In the Kali Yuga, we have a great fortune that even though the age is known throughout the scriptures and apparently through the various yugas, people understand that Kali Yuga is the worst of ages, because in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, Kari Bhajana Muni mentions that even people in Satya Yuga have a desire when they hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent and how He will give a dispensation in the age of Kali Yuga. These very exalted personalities wish to take birth in the Kali Yuga, even though it's a very rough age. As is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam at the outset, when Suta Goswami is speaking to the sages at Naimasaranya, Prayanal Payasha Shavya Kalavasmin Yugejana, Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hyupadritaha. In the Iron Age of Kali, men have but short lives. They're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. But there's a benediction in the age of Kali, which Kari Bhajana Muni brings out in his teachings to Maharaj Nimi, where he says, Kalim sabhaja yantyarya guna gya sarabhagina yatra sankirtananiva sarvaswarto bilabhyate. Says very specifically, in this age of Kali Yuga, those who are extremely intelligent discover the essence of this age. Kalim sabhaja yantyarya guna gya. Their guna gya, they know the highest quality in life. Sarabhagina, and they are able to extract the essence, the sar, the cream. They know that there are a lot of things that you can do in the Kali Yuga, but due to understanding the scripture, having faith in the scripture, and coming to a clear understanding, they know the essence of what is the topmost of activities to do in the age of Kali. Kalim sabhaja yantyarya guna gya sarabhagina yatra sankirtane naiva sarvaswarto bilabhyate. And that is to perform sankirtan, the samyak kirtan. In fact, the shastras mention that in every age there's a particular practice that is highly effective and suited for the people of that particular age. In the Satya Yuga, it's meditation. The people at that time are not distracted by any external noise as we are in this age of Kali Yuga. There's so much noise we don't even notice it anymore. And they can meditate. Even internally, one becomes disturbed because the prana becomes disturbed. There are a lot of waves coming through this room right now, for instance, that we can't even see. They're agitating our minds and bodies. In Satya Yuga, none of that's there. It's easy for them to sit and meditate and realize the Supersoul within their hearts. In the Treta Yuga, there's a little bit of degradation, and therefore people must take to a different process, and this is recommended in the Shastra as the fire sacrifice. They offer huge fire sacrifices. That is, Krishna appears within the fire. They know how to invoke his presence as yajna from the fire, and they offer lots of ingredients, like ghee and grains. And in this way, they attain their perfection in life. And then in Dwapara Yuga, the next yuga, which is actually even a little more degraded than the previous age, temple worship is recommended. And we still see some remnants of these beautiful temples that were built during the Dwapara Yuga thousands of years ago with hand-carved stone. And even in the Christian world, hundreds of years ago, these enormous cathedrals and temples were built. Nowadays, we don't see so many being built. We see mostly big office buildings. The epitome of ugly architecture was the World Trade Centers. I mean, there were just two straight lines sticking up. But in Dwapara Yuga, the center of each city was a large temple where people could come in and offer their worship to the Lord in wonderful ways. But in the Kali Yuga, none of these other processes is fully available. People can't meditate for very long in this age because their cell phone will go off. Even sometimes if you go to the Himalaya, you'll find these sadhus sitting in caves, and then you'll see them walking around with a cell phone later on. Even in Vrindavan, I've seen people walking around, sadhus with cell phone. Disturbing elements are there in Kali Yuga. Even at the Naimasaranya, the sages were attempting to have a fire. It was right at the beginning of Kali Yuga, but they said, all we're getting is black smoke, and it's not going to be successful. And maintaining temple worship is very difficult in this age. Not very many people are qualified, and there's a scarcity of time for people to come and see the deity and worship and so forth, as was in previous ages. But in Kali Yuga, the process is given in the Brihan Naradiya Purana, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. That in Kali Yuga, the only means, and it's repeated three times, is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the congregational chanting, those great souls who come together, and they sing the names, and especially Chaitanya of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which he received from his spiritual master. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So by process of elimination, one can come to this point of understanding what is the most important activity to perform in the age of Kali Yuga, and that is to concentrate one's efforts on hearing the holy names, chanting the holy names, coming together with others to perform Sankirtan. And by that process, one will be performing perfect sacrifice. And as the verse says, that I'm quoting and referring to, Kalim Sabha Jayantyarya Guna Gyasarabhagina Yatra Sankirtaninaiva Sarvaswarto Bilabhyate. Because these people who know this understand that by this sacrifice, Sankirtan, Sarvaswarto Bilabhyate, you will attain all of your desires. Everything that is desirable you'll obtain by this process. We were just reading yesterday the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna, after mentioning many different kinds of sacrifice that people perform, says that you can't be happy even in this life without sacrifice, what to speak of the next. And those who study Bhagavad Gita and associate with devotees change their point of vision in life and understand that by performing the right kind of sacrifice, then actually internally they become happy and externally their lives become harmonized by the process of living according to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, rather than having one's own agenda in life. So the regular practice of chanting Hare Krishna requires simply that one give a little attention to the mantra itself. This is especially in the process of personal meditation. The word attention has the word ten within it, which means to stretch. To attend means to stretch towards something. So in daily chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself would perform this practice when he lived in Vrindavan and elsewhere. When he was walking on the roads through South India, he would count on his fingers the number of mantras he was chanting. And in Vrindavan, he would go in the morning and sit under the Imli tall. You know where that is, just before you get to Keshigat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally sat under that tree. The tree is still there. It's over 500 years old. You can go and visit it. Venerable tree. But Mahaprabhu personally sat there, and he would chant japa till late in the morning, giving this example of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And so anyone can follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by daily performing this one sacrifice. You can find an area that is not cluttered and that is relatively peaceful. And you can either sit or sit and stand, walk back and forth, and chant the Maha Mantra just loud enough so that you can hear it yourself. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by practice, one can actually bring the mind to the mantra. Because as Krishna says in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy of the living entity. And in the sixth chapter of the Gita, Krishna is recommending in the beginning the process, or at least he's describing the process of how to control the mind through dhyan, through meditation. He says it takes some practice to bring the mind back again to the object of meditation. So chanting the Maha Mantra engages several of the senses. Rather than silent meditation, first we have the vibration we can listen to. And second of all, for those who have some chanting beads, you can hold on to the beads, and with your fingers, which need some stimulation, they can be happy by moving the beads together. And the tongue gets engaged. And of course, we talked in the last two classes about how yoga begins with the tongue, did we not? And the verse I gave from the Padma Purana to prove this is Atashi Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grahim Indriyai. First of all, that God can't be realized by the blunt material senses. But then there's a but in the verse. It says, but if you start your yoga practice with the tongue and you're diligent about it, then Krishna will be so pleased he'll come and reveal himself to you. Atashri Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grahim Indriye Sevan Mukhihi Jivado. So if you do seva with the tongue, how do you do that? How do you do seva with your tongue? How do you do service to God with your tongue? Amazingly, the best way is to repeat his names. Say, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Apparently, this is such a wonderful service that great devotees like Devahuti mentions this when she's talking to Kapila Dev by saying, Aho bhata shwa pachato garyanya jivagre vartate namatubhyam te pus tapaste juhuvu sasna arya brahmanachur nama granantiyete. First it says, Aho. Everyone say, Aho. Oh, something's just amazing to you. It means aho. Aho. And the aho bata shwa pachato garyan. She said, ya jivagre vartate namatu byam. How wonderful it is, and she's saying this with the perspective of knowing all the conclusions of the scriptures that if someone repeats the names of God and says, Hare Krishna, that person is known to have already performed all kinds of Vedic sacrifices, has been to all the holy places, has performed all the ritualistic baths and everything else mentioned in the Vedic scripture. And in fact, this person becomes qualified to perform Vedic sacrifice. Our acharyas say this is not an exaggeration. It means that when you chant Hare Krishna, your prarabdha karma changes. What is prarabdha karma? It means the karma I'm already due to pay right now. Not the one that I have to pay later, but right now I'm paying the price because I've received this material body. This is a result of my previous karmas. But the shastras are now saying that even the prarabdha karma is eradicated. Because how is it, according to Devahuti, that a shwapacha, a person who is born in the family of a dog eater, no, actually a person who's accustomed to eating dogs, not that they were born in a family of dog eaters, but then they moved on from that. But even from the position of a dog eater, if someone comes to the point of chanting Hare Krishna, that person's prarabdha karma becomes changed. That's why Shastra says the person then becomes qualified to perform Vedic sacrifice. This is the proof of the power of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So those who are engaged in a yogic discipline do well to study carefully what are the primary practices that give the most elevation to the practitioner. What places can I give my attention so that I'll actually make advancement in spiritual life? So this is one of the processes that is highly recommended throughout our scriptures and by the recent acharyas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received initiation from his spiritual master, Srila Ishvara Puri. And when he came back to Navadvip, he had been initiated in Gaya, he was a completely changed person. He received a mantra from his spiritual master, and he began to chant the mantra, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he had to go back to his spiritual master after some time and ask him if what he was doing was correct and if he had received the right mantra. Because he told his spiritual master that after receiving this mantra and chanting it, something strange is happening to me. Suddenly I've become like a mad person. I'm acting crazy. I've become unhinged. And the spiritual master, upon hearing how, upon receiving the mantra and chanting it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was laughing, crying, falling on the ground, acting like a completely insane person. What did the spiritual master say? Very good. You have actually attained the perfection of life. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he is speaking to Prakashananda Saraswati, he's recalling the potency of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to this Mayavadi and his followers, and telling him his own story of how he was initiated and how he received the mantra and how he had changed so much. And he said that then my spiritual master recited a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which is the essence of the meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Evamvrata sva priya nama kirtya jatana rago jita chuta uchar asatyato rautiti roti gayati unmaravan rititi loka bhayaha. Imagine first that this verse is coming from Srila Ishvara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that he's putting this forward as the most essential verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. this will help to focus the mind on the importance of the practice of chanting Hare Krishna. Here he says, evam vrata swa priyanama kirtya. And that is that by making this vow, you make a vow of vrat to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And as you continue that vrat, the name of the Lord will become very dear to you. How is it that the name becomes so dear to the practitioner? Well, in the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, we hear from Suta Goswami that there's no difference at all between Krishna and his name. When you say Hare Krishna, Krishna is personally manifesting. He's there, as they say, dancing on your tongue when you say Hare Krishna. And throughout the scriptures, we hear verses like Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shudho Nitya Mukto Bina Dvam Nama Namino. This verse is describing the Hare Krishna mantra. And that is that there's a potency to the holy name. It is like a philosopher's stone. That stone transforms anything that it touches. It can change an ordinary metal into gold. It can change a regular stone into a valuable jewel. This is what it means, Chintamani. So the holy name is like that. If anyone stays in contact, or even once comes in contact with the holy name, this effect is there. So the verse from the Padma Purana says, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It also says the name is alive. It's completely, fully conscious. And it's full of rasa, or taste. Purna Shudho Nitya Mukto Binadvam Namanamino means that it's perfect in all ways. It's liberated. Has no connection with the material world at all. And is completely non-different from Krishna. So the verse, evam vrtasva priya nama kirtya, means that if you chant Hare Krishna, the result will be, if you do it with a vow and with a careful regard for avoiding offenses in chanting Hare Krishna, you will develop a personal relationship with Krishna in which you'll become charmed by his name. So much so that you'll chant out of love. And the symptom of one who's chanting out of love, at least even the preliminary stage, is that it's hard for that person to be separated from the holy name. He or she wants to continue chanting as much as possible. So evam vrata swa priya nama kirtya, the name becomes dear. Jitana rogo jitachuta uchar. And then the heart begins to change. And this is mentioned throughout the scriptures, that the heart has to change in order to advance in spiritual life. I can make an external show of practicing spiritual life for some time, but eventually I will go where my heart is. Someone can track their own spiritual career and see, how did you do over 1 year? How about over 5 years, or 10 years, or 20, or 30, or 40, or 50? Steadiness in devotional service over a long period of time has to do with the condition of one's heart, because as is mentioned in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the heart is the driver, the body is the chariot, and I'll go wherever my heart tells me to go. So the heart must change. And what happens to one's heart when one takes a vow to chant Hare Krishna? Says druta chitta. The heart begins to melt. It becomes very soft. And then one becomes indifferent to the material world. In fact, this verse says that those who have become affected by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra then become mad themselves. Actually, spiritual mad people. And they no longer care for the opinion of outsiders. In fact, I just saw a little video clip of the devotees in New York City sitting in the subway chanting Hare Krishna. People are rushing back and forth, and they're fully focused on chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Where are the people going? To the office, off to do their work, and heading home this way and that way. Mentally constructed world, that I am this body, I am a New Yorker, I am from a certain country. And in complete contrast to that, you see the devotees absorbed in one place, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And although it may look at odds with the rest of the world, the devotees are absorbed. They don't actually have a care in the world because they're fully focused on the chanting of the holy names and feeling ecstasy from doing it. And sometimes they even dance like mad people. So anyone in the age of Kali Yuga can take up this process of chanting Hare Krishna with a vow and make tangible spiritual advancement. The best time of the day is early in the morning. This is scientifically proven that in the morning, many people aren't stirring. Only really serious people and people who are forced to work at that time of day are up and around. People who are very serious about business and things like that, it get really early. Some athletes get up really early in the morning to work out. And those who are very serious about spiritual life get up as early as possible in the morning so that they can chant and hear about Krishna before the sun comes up. That's the best time, and you won't be disturbed. And it's almost like you get 2 days in one. There's a way in which during the rasa dance, when Krishna danced with the gopis in the forest of Vrindavan, they had an expanse of time of millions of lifetimes of Brahma, because Krishna can make time expand. And for those who take their japa seriously, time can expand. And you feel like you're having an otherworldly experience early in the morning chanting japa. And then comes the rest of your day, which is like a second lifetime, second day that begins. However, those who take the time to chant early in the morning then go out, face the world fortified with knowledge and detachment. They can do their work, and of course, we must do our work. We have to do our duties in life. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that do that, but at the same time, remember me. And very decidedly in the purport, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yujyacha mayarpita manobudhir mami vaishyasya samshayaha. This verse comes in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna tells Arjuna how to make a success of life and to remember him at the end of life, and that is, throughout this lifetime, remember me even as you're struggling with your life and your work. And the best way to do that, according to our acharyas, adjusted especially for us, is to get up in the morning and spend a considerable amount of time, or as much as you can afford, chanting Hare Krishna. So before chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Srila Prabhupada has recommended that we say another mantra. That mantra goes like this. I'll say, please repeat. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda. So these are the names of the Panchatattva. And in various places, Srila Prabhupada calls this the Panchatattva Mahamantra. By repeating the names of Panchatattva, who come in this Kali Yuga age to distribute the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and who are the most merciful, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but as you can see here, he's appeared in a golden color. And this is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Karabhajana Muni, who says, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam sango pangashta parshadam jagnai sankirtana prayer yajantihi sumedasaha. And in this verse, he's talking about you, by the way. At the end of the verse says, sumedasaha, those who are very intelligent, they take to this process of sankirtan. And Krishna Varnam means that Lord Chaitanya is in the same category as Krishna. He's non-different from Krishna himself. And Twisha Krishnam, he's blackish. Krishna means black. But this says Akrishnam. He's not blackish. He's actually golden color. So he's Krishna, but he's appeared in golden color. And he also appears with his associates, who are described as sangopangashtap, the angas. They're his limbs. They do the same work as he's doing. They're intimate associates in spreading the Yuga Dharma and the Hare Krishna Mahamantra all over the world. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangashta Parshadam Jagnai Sankirtana Prayer. And there it is again, right in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the yajna? Describe Sankirtan. Sankirtana. The Sankirtan Yajna. By performing that, one is performing the Yuga Dharma. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to teach. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mentioned throughout the Shastra, but he comes in the age of Kali in a hidden form. Because in Kali Yuga, people are very envious of God. And if he appears and showing his full godhood, people would simply either imitate him or they would reject him. So he comes as a devotee of himself. Prahlad Maharaj mentions that the Lord is known as Tri Yuga. That means he appears in three yugas. And the acharyas explain that this means that he comes in every yuga, but in Kali Yuga he's hidden. Where else is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned? Vishnu Sahasranam Stotram. All of those of you who chant this mantra every day know Suvarnavarna He Mango Varnangas Chanchanangati Sanyasya Krishma Shanto Nishta Shanti Purayanaha. You all know the Vishnu Sahasranam, right? Take a little time before work. This verse describes the golden sannyasi who appears in the age of Kali Yuga, who is very peaceful, who spreads this chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world. And in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is an highly esoteric book, but now is available to the whole world, there's a full description of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings to his disciples, and also the ontology describing how he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why he comes as his own devotee to this world. What it means for us is a huge opportunity. In the cycles of yugas, normally in Kali Yuga, there's an ordinary manifestation of the Godhead in the form of a Shaktyavesha avatar, an ordinary jiva, who appears to spread the Yuga Dharma. But in our particular Yuga, this Kali Yuga, Krishna himself has appeared in that role. He has his own reasons, and those are all there in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But the added potency is there, that he is spreading his own holy name, and he has come as a combination of Krishna and Radharani. And by giving out the holy name, he is spreading what is known as Prem Sankirtan. Embedded in this chanting of Hare Krishna, which is coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, is a very deep understanding of our eternal relationship with Krishna, but in a very esoteric way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reveal that one can relate to Krishna eternally, not just as a servitor, as we see in Vaikuntha, only reverential service. But in Goloka Vrindavan, which is the highest planet in the spiritual world above Vaikuntha, how do we know this? It's in the Shastra. Goloka namni nijadamni taleta tasya devi mahesh haridhamasuteshu teshu. te te prabhava nichaya vihitascha yena govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lowest of all is located? Devi Dham. That's where we are. Above Devi Dham is Mahesh Dham, abode of Mahesh. That's where, like a halfway house between the material and the spiritual world. Above Mahesh Dham is Hari Dham. Everyone say Hari Dham. Say Hari Dham. Hari Dham. So above Hari Dham is Krishna's own realm known as Goloka, his Nija Dham. That's his personal abode. He comes from that abode as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach what goes on there, what are the relationships in the highest planet of Goloka Vrindavan, which includes friendship with the Lord, intimate friends with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or parental relationship. One can be a parent of the Lord, or the relationship of a lover. All these relationships are revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the spontaneous love for Krishna, which has never been revealed before. Therefore, it's mentioned in the very beginning of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anarpita Charim Charit, Anarpita Charim Charat Karuna Yavatirna Kalo. That Krishna, after appearing in this world, considers, for a long time I've not given this knowledge about my ultimate abode and the relationships that take place there. This was intuited, by the way, by Uttara, the mother of Parikshit. Parikshit, of course, heard the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a description of these relationships in Krishna's pastimes. She wasn't able to hear the whole thing. There was a lot of sages there. Apparently she didn't get box seats. Box seats means right up close. It's a baseball thing. So after Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj, she approached her son, Parikshit, and said, please, in the time you have left, he only had 7 days, and now there was only just a few hours, please tell me the essence of what you heard from Shukadeva. And in that time, Parikshit Maharaj gave her the description of the Bhagavatam in the form of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And when she asked the question, she says, I know that there are devotees that have a special love for Krishna that's so intense that they must have a special place where they can be accommodated, where they can express that love, spontaneous love. And Parikshit Maharaj was very pleased with the intelligence of his exalted mother, and he described by step and one step after another the various gradations of devotees, culminating in the residents of Vrindavan who have an unceremonious love for Krishna. No rules, only pure love, spontaneous love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach this, and he also is described as the most merciful of all of Krishna's appearances in this world. Imagine that. He's Krishna himself, and we know from the Laghu Bhagavatamrita that whenever Krishna kills a demon, that demon attains the ultimate salvation just by coming in contact with Krishna. And now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. Of course, he doesn't kill any demons, but he kills the demoniac spirit within everyone's heart. And anyone who comes in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no matter what background they come from, is given an opportunity to go to the highest destination in the spiritual world. This you'll find is the essence of the teachings of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it is said by our acharyas that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he doesn't consider any offenses. When one chants his names or the names of Lord Nityananda, there are no offenses considered, as in when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. There are 10 offenses to be considered. But in chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. No matter what condition of life one's in, if one says those names, one can be completely degraded. Of course, that's not recommended. But if one's already degraded and chants Nitai Gauranga, they'll simply be infused with this love for God within their hearts. And all of us who are engaged in this work of spreading the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have seen all over the world that when we go out as representatives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and teach this chanting of Lord Nityananda and Lord Gauranga's names and then the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that people go crazy and they begin to dance and chant, and then along with that they experience detachment from the world and knowledge pours into their heart. The formula given to us by Srila Prabhupada, who received it from his spiritual master coming through the disciplic session, is that first one should say this mantra, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda, and then chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shruti Kirti Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's personal secretary for several years and spent time with him 24 hours a day, confirmed that when Prabhupada chanted japa, he didn't say the Panchatattva Mahamantra after every round that he chanted, but he would say it first before chanting his japa of Hare Krishna, sufficient. And when we perform kirtan, we also say first, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda, and then we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this was the primary process that Srila Prabhupada taught when he came to America. He also went into public and he chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra aloud so that people could hear it. And at first, curious bystanders thought that it was something very odd. And some ignored him, some heckled, some came and listened for a little bit and then walked away. Various reactions people have when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in public. Because normally, people, by agreement all over the universe, have consensual, as Devamrita Maharaj likes to say, there's a mass consensual trance. That no one wants to break that trance and do something different. Everyone steps into line, being controlled by the three modes of material nature. When someone begins to perform the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the outside world and other people hear it, then at first people have a kind of unique reaction according to their state of heart. As in the prayers in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, when some people hear your name, they run away in fear. But as Srila Prabhupada continued to chant the mantra under that tree in Thompson Square Park, and anybody can find a place to do this, gradually people came forward and listened very intently. And then some of them began to dance spontaneously. This is the power of the mantra. In fact, you'll notice that in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada has described the science of this transcendental sound. It's a great science, how this sound vibration comes from the spiritual world. And he states that the sound of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the same sound as Krishna's flute in Goloka Vrindavan. Imagine that. And Narottam Das Thakur makes this famous, now famous proclamation, Golokera Premadhan Harinam Sankirtan, that the Lord has brought this great treasure of this mantra to this material world. So imagine sitting under a little tree and just chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. And then from there, souls came together and began to chant, dance. And then the next thing was that Srila Prabhupada introduced a class in the Bhagavad Gita. So people could come and sit down for an hour and just listen to what Krishna has to say in the Bhagavad Gita. And by the way, what does he have to say in the Bhagavad Gita? Balimardhan Prabhu says, Sarva dharman parityaja mame kam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami masuja. What does that mean? This is very valuable. I mean, let's see the translation. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Valuable information to have, right? When I'm facing non-existence at every step of my life and trying to ignore it, pushing it out of my mind and act like everything's okay here, I'm fine. You're not fine. Hate to break it to you, but we're not fine. There's a lot of angst in this world because I'm simply stuffing my anxiety and trying to pretend that I'm fine, but I'm threatened by non-existence, so I'm not fine. But Krishna gives relief. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, he tells us, you're not your body. You're simply passing through this world. What does he say in the second chapter of Gita to that effect? This is one everyone knows. Dehi no smnyata dehe komaran yovaram jara tata dehantara praptir tiras tatra namuhyati. This is a treasure of a verse. Dehi no asmin, it means for an embodied person, take a look at your arm for a second. You take it for granted all day long. Go ahead, take a good look. Don't be afraid. It's okay. Take a look at your arm. I say that because the other day I was looking at my arm and saying, that's not my arm. I said, who is that anyway? I take it for granted that arms are just there and I think, oh, I'm this body. But actually, it's an arm. It's not me. It's some other instrument that I've been given. And here Krishna is saying, dehina asmin yata dehe, that this body is going through many changes and we're the embodied and we're simply observing it change from one situation to another. In fact, it changes so subtly that you don't even notice it until it's too late. In fact, the other day, a devotee was telling me that there were two sisters, and one of the sisters was about to die. So she was assisting the other sister in helping the sister who was on hospice care. And while she was assisting the sister who was assisting her sister, the sister who was assisting her sister died first. They may have been twins. And as she, just the second before she died, and this just happened a few weeks ago, she said, oh, what happened to my whole life? That was her last words. And then she passed away right there in a parking lot. And we were considering how this whole lifetime of being within a particular body and going through the changes and just assuming that I am this body can leave one holding an empty bag, because the fact is that we're not our body. Good information to have so you don't put all your money in the wrong bank account and then wonder where it went. We used to do a skit called putting your money in the wrong bank account. When you go to withdraw, there's just nothing there. So Krishna informs us early and often in the Bhagavad Gita that, by the way, you're not your body, and by the way, you're going to leave this particular platform, which is this material body, and you're going to move on. And we know this is going to happen, but the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Paschana Pina Pashati, although people see it, they don't want to hear about it, and they don't want to consider it. But Krishna says, go ahead and consider it. It's not such a bad thing. It means that you just have to take a different kind of responsibility in your life. You have to focus your energy in a little different way than you may be doing now. It doesn't mean you'll be bereft. It doesn't mean you have to renounce the whole world and give up your family. But you do have to adjust your perspective in life. And here he's giving this information. So with this combination of chanting Hare Krishna in public under a tree, and then inviting people to come and sit down in a quiet room and hear this commonsensical knowledge. It's not fanatical. It's commonsensical. When people hear it, they look and they go, oh yeah, that seems to be true. And with these two, chanting Hare Krishna and reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita, there's a kind of congealment. Just like if you take these two tubes that you can buy at the hardware store for epoxy glue. They still have the two tubes? Any handy people out there fixing stuff? Engineers, everyone? Well, I know when I was a kid, when my father wanted to really glue something down, he would go and buy epoxy glue. I knew it was serious then. He went and get the epoxy. And I was like, Dad, why do you have to have two tubes? Why not just one? Of course, now they have crazy glue, but I don't know if that's bona fide or not. Two tubes, epoxy. You put one and then the other, they mix together, and then it won't let go. There's a synergistic effect. So similarly, Prabhupada taught this synergy. In bhakti, you can chant Hare Krishna, use your own tongue. You don't have to rent any material. It's like there are a lot of hobbies where you go out and kind of rent a bunch of stuff. Skiing is one of them. You got to have paraphernalia. You got to have a car. Then you got to have a rack. Then you got to get a place in the lodge. It's expensive. But Hare Krishna, not expensive. Free gift. Free gift. You can sit by the side of the road. You can be the poorest person on the planet materially, but the richest person if you take this jewel that's been given. And you simply repeat the mantra over and over again. Then, if you want the epoxy effect, you take the two tubes. Now you hear a little Bhagavad Gita. This cements everything together. This is confirmed by Haridas Thakur, who is the Nam Acharya. He was put forward by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said, everyone look at him. He teaches how to do this. That's why we say in our Prem Dvani prayers, we say, Nam Acharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. He taught that along with your chanting of Hare Krishna, you also have to hear about your relationship with Krishna. This is called Sambandha Gyan. What's my relationship with Krishna? And not only that, what's my relationship with the material world? And you know what it is? Nothing. We don't have a relationship with the material world. Asango Hyayam Purusha. You have nothing to do here. There's no, you don't belong here. You have no real connection to the material world. You only are dreaming it. You're dreaming that this is my place. These are my things. So I can actually walk that back, as they say nowadays, and have a broader perspective just by hearing Bhagavad Gita. I don't have to be a great Vedic scholar. All I have to do is take the essence of all the Vedas, which is present in the Bhagavad Gita. It's called the Gita Upanishad. Still says that in Prabhupada's book, Gita Upanishad. See, it's right here. Above the English, what does that say in Devanagari? Confirm, pundits in the front row? Nod your head. Yep, Gita Upanishad. That's because this book is the essence. It teaches the perfect essence of all the Upanishads. Did I get my glasses back? Oh, thanks. So if you just do these two things every day, even if you do them a little bit, even if you do it for 5 seconds each, the epoxy will work. And you'll see that this actually is real. This is reality. You can see for yourself how Krishna is manifesting his potencies through the holy name, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. He kept things so simple, because Kali Yuga. He only gave these 8 verses called Shikshashtakam. And in one of the verses, he says, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. He says, you want to know God? He's in his name. He's personally in his name. He goes to great lengths to explain that this is the essence of all the Vedic scriptures and the practices described therein, this chanting of Hare Krishna. And he condenses it into this simple verse, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. All the potencies of God are present within his holy name. And all you need do is repeat them. Repeat God's names over and over again. And then hear Bhagavad Gita. And It's nice if you can get on a daily schedule, because the power of the illusory energy, as Krishna has described in the Bhagavad Gita, Daiva Hiesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. Duratyaya means it's really heavy. I mean, it's so heavy. When Markandeya Rishi, who is a liberated soul, got interested in knowing, well, he wanted to know, I want to see what your illusory energy looks like. Never asked that question. Krishna fulfilled his desire, and after sitting in his beautiful little hermitage for some time after Krishna left, suddenly he saw these huge storm clouds come in. There was an atmospheric river. Sound familiar? And it began to pour this deluge down, and then the oceans began to swell and fill up, and pretty soon he was engulfed in these waters of devastation. And he floated in those waters for millions of years, being tossed by the waves, almost drowning in the waves of this huge ocean. And finally, the waves carried him to this little tiny island, and there, when he came close, he saw a little baby. Never seen such an attractive baby. Of course, sages don't see a lot of babies, but this was no ordinary living entity. This was the most effulgent, charming being he'd ever seen in his life, in the form of a baby. And he was fully fascinated by him, and he looked and he saw that this baby was floating in a banyan leaf. And when he came closer, the baby was then holding his own toe and sucking it. Ever seen a baby suck his toe? Who is the baby? It was Krishna. And he came closer and he was looking at the baby, and then the baby sucked him in his mouth. And then he sat up and he was sitting back in his hermitage. No waters, everything gone. And in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva states, this whole material world comprised of the three modes of material nature, it's kulakam, it's magic created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, even the devas are bewildered by this. So don't think that you can outdo Maya. You can't do it by getting an advanced degree in something. You can't do it, especially in Kali Yuga, by becoming a great yogi. The only thing that works in the Kali Yuga is to take shelter of the process given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that includes hearing from Bhagavad Gita and chanting Hare Krishna. And if you do that, then you'll experience for yourself the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming through these two most primary sources of which he avails himself to the world. And he avails himself to every living entity. And he's so pleased when someone chants his holy name that we read recently in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, that he won't leave your heart if you just say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And then if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, again, Krishna is so attracted to that sound because it's from the spiritual world that he won't leave your heart. And also mentioned in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that those who don't want to see Yamaraj, by the way, who would like to see Yamaraj? As my friend Divyanga Prabhu was telling me the other day, when he was on Sankirtan and he stopped this couple and he was just about to speak to him about a book and everything, they said, no, we're not interested. They didn't speak English, they spoke Spanish. But just as they were about to turn away from him, they noticed that he had neck beads on. And there was a couple that he had approached, a man and a wife, and the wife said, oh, japamala, japamala, because Divyanga told me that his neck beads had broken and someone gave him a very large set of neck beads. So the woman said, japamala, japamala. And then she started to explain, as best she could, that they had met devotees many years ago in South America, and they knew what a devotee was. And they were then enchanted, and they wanted to know what he was offering, the book and so forth. And I was reminding my friend Divyanga Prabhu about these neck beads and the tilak that the devotees wear. And that in the Bhagavatam, 6th canto, it's mentioned by Yamaraj himself to his attendants, the Yamadutas, don't go near those people. Because it causes a lot of problems to offend the devotees. The Yamadutas had grabbed Ajamil, and they didn't know because he had said Hare Krishna just a few times. He said, not I, and everyone say,
not I.
Even in, he didn't even mean to chant japa. I mean, he was really out of it. And he was just saying the names of his son. But even from that, the Bhagavatam explains, he got liberation, and the Lord was just waiting to take him back home when he was ripe. What to speak of somebody who chants Hare Krishna? But Yamaraj tells his attendants, don't go near those Vaishnavas. Don't go anywhere near them. You see tilak, you see neck beads, you hear Hare Krishna, stay away. So devotees take shelter of this knowledge. They protect themselves by being Krishna's devotee. And there's a lot of people you can be devotees of in this world. Like, I saw when I was in Bombay, I was driving by some rich houses, and there were hundreds of people outside waiting for a Bollywood star to go in. I've never seen a Bollywood movie. I've only seen a few clips. But I recognize the phenomenon because I've seen, and so has everyone else, how a famous person is worshipped. People follow them. There are athletes. There are musicians. There are great actors, some politicians. People go to big rallies, say, yes, this is our man. We worship you. But all of those entities are fallible. They'll fall short. But if one puts one's attention on Krishna, one will never be disappointed. So the Bhagavad Gita is true. And everything that's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita is for our ultimate benefit. And there are detailed instructions, but they're simple enough that one can actually mold one's life around them. It doesn't require severe austerities. And after all, Krishna talks about karma yoga. How if you just do your work but dedicate the fruits of the work to Krishna, you'll come to see him by that activity. It's simple, something for everybody. A way to begin the process of devotional service. So it's completely satisfying, the process that Srila Prabhupada brought to us by sitting in the park and chanting Hare Krishna and afterwards inviting people to have a little session of hearing the Bhagavad Gita, and afterwards, he didn't even have to have a big feast, but it's the Vaishnava tradition to share something, some gift, and some transcendental food, some prasadam. Sometimes Prabhupada would just cut up an apple. One nice Fuji apple will do it. And you give out the pieces. And that apple offered to Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya priyachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami pariyatmana. If you just offer me that with love and devotion, I'll accept it. And by taking that prasad, prasadi sarvadukhanam hanirasya pujayate prasanna chetasoyashu buddhi pariyavatishti. You become happy, full of knowledge, your intelligence becomes steady. And this is what we're teaching all over the world, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. These few simple things, and they're meant to be applied individually. And each person who applies them, reading Bhagavad Gita, chanting a little Hare Krishna, and then just offer whatever food you're going to eat. Say a prayer, offer to Krishna. And if you live like that, then you'll be elevated very quickly to a direct connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After all, Dhruva Maharaj attained this complete perfection just within a few months. Chitraketu within less than a month. And this process, anyone can attain perfection in this one lifetime by performing what has been given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we don't know how long that is. It could just be a few more days. It could be a few more minutes. We have no idea. Honestly, we really don't, right? So, all glories to what you're doing, dedicating your lives to this process. I'm only here just encouraging that you're doing the exact right thing. continue with this process and steadily and with great determination chant Hare Krishna and read Bhagavad Gita. And once you digest Bhagavad Gita a little bit, move on to Srimad Bhagavatam. And absorb yourself in these simple activities, the basics every day, and you'll be blissful wherever you go. You'll also become famous throughout the three worlds because of following the four regulative principles. You just follow the four regular principles. Everywhere you go, people look at you and go, how do you do that? It's impossible. Sometimes I tell people, it's like, and they say, how do you do that? That's incredible. And it is, because it's very difficult to control the senses of Kali Yuga, but those who chant Hare Krishna and read Bhagavad Gita will have such power. And at the time of death, one will be able to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead by this simple process throughout one's lifetime, just spending a little time every day remembering Krishna. At the end of life, even if you forget Krishna, he won't forget you. He won't forget your contribution to devotional service throughout this lifetime. Om Tat Sat.
Thanks for the wonderful class. Like a lot of reinforcement. One thing which really struck me was the epoxy tube example, where it's the chanting of the holy name along with Bhagavad Gita has the potency to glue you to Krishna, which is required because Maya itself is created by Krishna. So it's so powerful. You cannot, like, that is the only way. Krishna's name is the only way which can withstand Maya. So that glue is required.
I saw when I was at Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan one Kartik many years ago, it was crammed. I think it was during Purushottam Mass. I went there right after 9/11. I was there. 3 days after, plane was empty. Always fly after a major terrorist attack. and I was walking around, and it was hot. It was hot like anything because it was still September, and people were jammed in there for Purushottam Mass. And that, you know, you go around, and there's all those little samadhis there. And there was one little sadhu I used to see every day. He was sitting jammed over in the little corner, and he had a small copy of Bhagavad Gita, and all day long he was absorbed in just reading the verses of Gita. And then when I go by him, I think, this is happiness. This is real happiness. To actually have a taste for reading Bhagavad Gita, that's happiness. And anyone can get that. If you can get that happiness, Bhagavad Gita, all you need is a little tiny corner in the world. No more. You don't need a big car. You don't need the latest technology. It's all there in the Bhagavad Gita, and you can be completely happy. Yeah. A couple more. 1, 2.
I like that the sound of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the same as the sound of the flute in Golok Vrindavan.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Remember that. These sounds are not ordinary. They come from the spiritual world. Bali Mardan Prabhu.
So similarly, the same... the glorification of the holy name which you mentioned from Srimad Bhagavatam about Devahuti. Similarly, we have, you may be remembering one beggar in front of Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, like 10, 12 years ago. He's a blind and one of his leg is not there. In front of the temple on the other side, which guest house is there, he will be sitting there throughout the day when from Delhi we used to go to Vrindavan and we'll see. He'll be chanting continuously throughout the day. Just he'll have a pot where people put some money, like 25 paisa, 15, 10 paisa, like that. But he will be sitting and chanting throughout the day. 3 days we stay and we saw. That was the most memorable experience I had in Vrindavan.
Yeah, these little images that you can see in the Dham. There was a sadhu that when I stay in Vrindavan and do the parikram around Vrindavan, and right during the last stretch, there was this one little sadhu who would sit there, and everyone that would walk by, he'd offer his obeisances. All day long, he was boom, 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 offering obeisances. So when we came around, we saw him offer, so we all got down and offered obeisances. And then he was surprised. But I was thinking while he was doing that, this is what the Goswamis of Vrindavan did. They offer obeisances to devotees. That's how simple bhakti is. You just appreciate that devotees carry Krishna in their heart, and you offer obeisances to them, and you'll feel happy, and Krishna will be happy. And bhakti is about making Krishna happy. It's not about trying to excel in one's own prowess. and becoming powerful in yoga or anything like that. It's the simple things that attract Krishna, like offering a lamp during Kartik. For some reason, Krishna likes it. And if you just offer a lamp during Kartik every day, Krishna will be happy. And if Krishna is happy, you're successful. That's bhakti. That's what Bhagavad Gita teaches. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki. Natchari Armarman, 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 Natchari Armarman.